All right, so today we're diving into something that could genuinely save you or your clients a bunch of money.
Oh, yeah. I'm all ears.
It's all about the difference between repairs and capital improvements in tax law.
Okay, I see where this is going. Always a tricky area.
Exactly. And to really get into it, we're going to unpack a classic case, Midland Empire Packing Co. v. Commissioner.
Ah, Midland Empire. The meat packing plant, the oil refinery, and a whole lot of concrete. A classic for sure.
Couldn't have put it better myself.
Oh.
This case is a perfect example of how a simple situation can become a legal puzzle.
Oh, absolutely. And the implications are huge.
Right. We're talking potentially thousands, even millions of dollars in tax liability riding on this distinction.
No small potatoes.
So imagine this. It's 1943, and Midland Empire Packing Co. in Montana is using their basement just like they always have.
For meat curing and storage. Right.
You got it. But then they run into a big problem.
Yeah, a problem literally seeping into their basement. Oil from a nearby refinery.
And not just a little leak, we're talking a serious fire hazard. Not to mention the smell.
Right, it was bad. So bad that federal meat inspectors got involved. They basically told Midland, fix it or shut down.
Tough situation. So Midland decides to take action.
Oh.
They spend almost $5,000 to line the entire basement with concrete.
Trying to stop that oil, I see. It seems pretty straightforward, so what's the issue?
You'd think so, right? Problem solved. But that's where things get interesting. Midland tried to deduct that expense on their taxes as a repair.
Makes sense. They fixed a problem.
Right. But the IRS, they saw it differently.
Ah, I bet they called it a capital improvement.
Bingo. And that's what kicked off this whole legal battle that ended up in the tax court.
Classic IRS, always keeping things interesting. But for our listeners, let's break this down.
I'm with you. What's the difference between a repair and a capital improvement in the eyes of the tax man?
Okay, so the big difference is how these expenses are treated when you file your taxes. Repairs, you can generally deduct them in the year they happen.
So like fixing that leaky faucet, just keeping things running as they should be.
Exactly. You're just maintaining the property, not really changing anything major.
Gotcha. And that gets you a tax break for that year. Makes sense. But what about these so-called capital improvements?
Ah, those are different. Capital improvements, those actually add value to the property, or they extend its life, or even change its use.
So less about fixing and more about making things better, fancier, or different altogether. Okay, I'm with you. So going back to Midland Empire, the IRS said their concrete situation was a capital improvement. What was Midland's side of the story?
Well, Midland argued they were just trying to get their basement back to how it was before, not making it better, just making it usable.
It was basically an emergency fix, not a planned renovation.
Right. Forced into it by that oil seepage. It wasn't like they chose to upgrade their basement for fun. They just wanted to keep doing business.
So who won this whole back and forth between Midland and the IRS?
The tax court sided with Midland. They let them deduct the expense as a repair.
Wow. Interesting. So even a big expense like that can be a repair.
You bet. But the really fascinating part is the reasoning behind the decision. Lots of good stuff for lawyers to learn from.
Okay, so break it down for us. Why did the court side with Midland? What was their logic?
Well, they focused on a couple of key things. First, the court said that concrete lining, it didn't actually increase the value of the plant as a whole.
So, yeah, they could use the basement again, but it didn't make the whole plant worth more money.
Exactly. It wasn't like adding a fancy new wing or something. The second point was that the oil, that wasn't normal wear and tear. It was totally unexpected.
Something they had to deal with, not something they chose to do.
Right. They were reacting to a problem, not trying to make things better than before.
Interesting. So the court saw it as fixing a bad situation, not making improvements.
Yes. And get this. The IRS actually agreed that the expense was necessary for Midland to keep operating, but they still argued it wasn't ordinary.
Ordinary. What does it even mean in this context? An oil refinery leaking into your basement doesn't seem very ordinary to me.
Yeah, it's tricky. But the court looked back at a previous case, Welch v. Helvering, to clarify things. Ordinary doesn't have to mean something that happens all the time.
So not like your everyday run-of-the-mill event.
Right. It means it is this expense something that's common or expected in that particular industry?
So maybe not common for Midland, but for businesses near oil refineries, it's a potential risk.
That's the idea. The court basically said, look, this might be unusual for Midland, but it's not unheard of for their industry in that location.
Makes you think about how we define ordinary in different fields. What's normal for one business might be crazy for another.
It's all relative. This is where lawyers have to really think carefully. You can't just look at one client in isolation. You need to consider the whole industry context. What's normal? What are the risks? That kind of thinking.
Right. So how does this whole Midland Empire thing apply to other situations lawyers might see? Any real-world examples?
Oh, absolutely. This case is really helpful when you're dealing with environmental hazards and regulatory compliance.
Situations where a business is forced to spend a lot of money to fix a problem they didn't cause.
Exactly. And their main goal isn't to improve their property, it's just to keep things running.
So more about fixing damage than making things better.
You got it. Think of a factory that has to clean up some contamination because the EPA says so. If they're just trying to get the property back to how it was before under Midland Empire, that could be a deductible repair.
Wow, even if that cleanup costs millions, that's wild.
It is. The key is that they're restoring things, not upgrading or expanding.
So it's a fine line between just fixing what's broken and taking the opportunity to make things better.
Definitely. And things can get tricky in real life. Even with repairs, you might accidentally add some value or extend the life of something, like replacing an old roof with a brand new one. Technically, you've made it last longer, even if you're not really changing what the roof does.
That's a good point. So how can lawyers advise their clients to handle these situations and stay on the right side of the IRS?
Documentation is key. Absolutely crucial. If your client is facing a big expense that could be either a repair or a capital improvement, they need to keep really good records, contracts, invoices, work orders, emails with agencies, anything and everything.
So proving they had to do the work and it wasn't about making things fancier.
Exactly. That paper trail is their best friend, especially if the IRS comes knocking with an audit. The IRS is known to scrutinize these deductions, so your client needs to be prepared.
I bet. A strong case with good evidence can make all the difference.
Oh, absolutely. It can be the difference between a smooth tax season and a major headache.
It sounds like staying organized is crucial here. You really don't want to mess around with the IRS when it comes to these kinds of deductions.
Oh, absolutely. Keeping good records is about so much more than just following the rules. It's about protecting your client and making sure the IRS treats them fairly.
Now, I want to circle back to something we were talking about before. The idea that ordinary can mean different things in different industries.
Right. What's normal for a construction company might be totally out there for a tech startup.
Exactly. So what happens when we're dealing with totally new technologies or industries where there's no real precedent?
That's a great question. And honestly, it's something tax professionals are wrestling with more and more these days.
It's like the tax code is trying to catch up with the speed of technology.
You got it. Technology changes so fast and new industries pop up all the time. The old definitions of repair and capital improvement don't always fit.
Like, imagine a software company has to release a huge update to fix a security flaw. Is that a repair?
That's a good example. It's not like fixing a broken pipe, but it's essential for the software to keep working. Tough call.
And what about all this stuff with the metaverse and blockchain? It feels like uncharted territory for tax law.
It really is. So how do we navigate this? Do we just wait for new court cases to tell us what to do?
I mean, that would be nice, but it could take years.
Right, and businesses need answers now. I think we need to use common sense, rely on the basic principles of tax law, and be open to new ways of thinking.
So it's not just about following the letter of the law, but really understanding the spirit of it.
Exactly. And being able to explain your reasoning clearly and persuasively. You need to anticipate what the IRS might say and have a solid argument ready.
It's like being a lawyer and a detective at the same time. You have to gather all the evidence and build a strong case.
That's a great analogy. It's about thinking strategically and being prepared to defend your position.
Well, this has been an incredibly insightful discussion. I think our listeners are walking away with a much better grasp of this whole repair versus capital improvement dilemma.
I hope so. It might seem like a small detail, but it can have a huge impact on a company's bottom line.
Absolutely. So as we wrap up our deep dive into Midland Empire, what are the key takeaways for lawyers today?
I think the big one is to remember that the reason for the expense and its overall effect are what really matter. Is it just getting things back to normal, more likely a repair, making things better, lasting longer, or changing how they're used, probably a capital improvement?
And we can't forget that ordinary standard. It's not about how often something happens to one business. It's about what's expected in that whole industry.
Exactly. And of course, we've said it a bunch of times, but documentation is crucial. keep good records, and you'll be in a much stronger position.
It's all about building that solid case, piece by piece.
Couldn't have said it better myself. I think we've given everyone a lot to think about today.
Definitely. It's a complex area of law that's constantly evolving. But before we go, one last thought for everyone out there. As technology keeps changing at lightning speed, do we need to rethink these definitions of repair and capital improvement?
That's the million-dollar question. It's a challenge that we'll need lawyers, tax experts, and businesses all working together to figure out.
It seems like we've only just scratched the surface of this whole issue.
Oh, for sure. It's definitely a topic we'll be revisiting on future deep dives.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone. Keep those legal minds working, and we'll see you next time.